88?
We feel great. All 12th man stood up today, and they screamed their butts off.
A bunch of different guys making plays.
He's hit as he throws the ball loose. It's picked up by Walden.
Just the way the team, we stuck together. We kept fighting. Just showed what type of team we have.
Way downfield to T.Y. He's got it. He's going to score. He's going to score.
You know, you always want to win at home. We've got such great fans.
He's going to take it himself. He's going to bootleg it and score. Andrew Luck from 6 yards out.
It's time for Off-Season Horseshoe FAQ on The Last Word on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
Welcome back to the show. It's time to talk all things Colts. This is Horseshoe FAQ, frequently asked questions, and we pose those to Kevin Bowen, our Colts insider from Colts.com. The Colts are in search of several women to represent the team as far as the 2014 Colts cheerleading squad. Auditions for the squad begin Sunday, March 23rd. That'll be here before you know it. That day at noon at the Indiana Farm Bureau Football Center, individuals interested in trying out are asked to pre-register. You can do that at Colts.com/auditions. Kevin Bowen is here inside the Taco Bell studio. I am Matt Taylor. Kevin, where do you want to start, man? It was a huge, busy last couple of days for the Colts as free agency is set to start on Tuesday of next week, but we didn't wait that long. Pat McAfee today,
right?
Colts punter, signs a 5-year extension with the team. DaQuell Jackson yesterday comes over in free agency to be what's projected to be the Colts' starting linebacker next year. Let's start with Pat, though. 5 years, he was franchise tagged last year. The Colts and him and his agents were in talks a year ago about this time. They couldn't come up with a long-term deal. That's why the franchise tag was applied. A long-term deal this year. What was the difference? Why did we come to terms this year but not last year?
I think it's just another year of seeing what he did. This past year, 27 punts down inside the 20-yard line. That's a franchise record. And we obviously know how much Pat loves Indianapolis, how much Indianapolis loves Pat, but I think people sometimes forget that he's arguably the best punter in Colts history. So you're keeping him as a weapon. I mean, this is a guy that changed field position on so many different occasions this past season, and a lot of those times it led to turnovers. The Robert Mathis strip in the Denver game, if it wasn't for Pat pinning them inside the 10-yard line, maybe that strip sack that really changed the game never happens. The Trendon Holiday play earlier in that game as well, if he doesn't pin them near the sideline, maybe Stanley Havili doesn't make that play. So I think Pat is just he's a tremendous weapon for this team. He obviously does it on kickoffs. And the interesting thing for me is, in terms of a 5-year deal, Matt, you got to think if the Colts do end up re-signing Adam Vinatieri, does Pat eventually become the field goal kicker here? I think that is kind of his pipe dream, being that guy that does field goal kicking, punting, and kickoffs. We really don't see anyone around the NFL do it. I think mostly NFL teams realize if that guy were to get hurt, then where do you turn to? He's right. Your only kicker on the 53-man roster. So I think it will be interesting down the road to see if Pat one day does become the Colts field goal kicker. But again, he is a great weapon for this team, and it's nice to see him back in a Colts uniform.
And fans love him.
He's
great for the organization.
Right.
He's a good spokesperson. He's killing it this week on the NFL AM show on the NFL Network. So you think there's a bigger plan in place here for Pat, maybe moving forward, not just punting?
I think in terms of Pat, if it was up to Pat, he would love to do all three. But obviously he realizes, and he'd be the first one to tell you, that he's holding for a Hall of Fame kicker. So he's not going to be knocking Adam out of the way, assuming Adam comes back. But down the road, the question is going to come up whenever Adam Vinatieri does hang up the cleats
again. And Pat
again
can kick. For those
Pat
can kick.
With Adam, he doesn't kick every day. Obviously, he's 41 years old, and Pat kicks a lot of times in training camp. We see it up in Anderson every year. So I think this is something that he definitely wants to do. He did it at West Virginia. So come 2-3 years down the road, the question is going to come up whether Pat McAfee can kick field goals, and if a team is going to take that risk. In my opinion, I wouldn't. I would kind of stay away from that just because we saw it in the Patriots-Colts game in the playoffs. Their punter got hurt. The Patriots had to turn to Steven Gostkowski then to become their punter for the rest of the game. So if you only are addressing one guy, if for some reason Pat gets hurt making one of his 100 tackles it seems like he's made over his 5 years here in Indy, where do you turn to?
All right, so that was the big news today. The big splash yesterday, on top of Samson Satelli being released, we'll get to that here in just a second. But linebacker DaQuell Jackson comes over from Cleveland in free agency, and he signs a 4-year deal here in Indianapolis. A veteran, guy who's there all the time. He's durable. He's consistent, which we love. Ryan Grigson obviously puts a high emphasis on that.
But let's focus on DeQuell on the field. What does he bring as a player here now to the Colts defense?
Durable. That is a word that we've used in the past to describe Antoine Bethea, but that is exactly what DeQuell Jackson is. He missed one snap out of 1,150 last year. The Colts had five different inside linebackers, not named Jarrell Freeman, play at least 180 snaps last year. So this is a guy you can probably pencil in next to Jarrell Freeman, gives you the durability, is a leader, came here strictly to win. He hasn't experienced the playoffs in his 8 years in the NFL. Listening to his agent yesterday on Sirius Radio, talked about there are four suitors in the end, 12 teams total, one in Jackson, four teams is kind of what they narrowed it down to, Miami, Denver, Tennessee. Ray Horton, his defensive coordinator in Cleveland, is now the defensive coordinator in Tennessee. He met with Peyton Manning when he was out in Denver. He knows some people in the front office down there with the Dolphins, but I think it was at dinner with Chuck Pagano on Wednesday night. He woke up Thursday morning and figured this is the place that he needs to be. Obviously, Rob Chudzinski here was his head coach in Cleveland. He loved what Chud was trying to do there, and he wants to be reunited, I think, with that and with a team that is built for the playoffs. Again, he wants to experience the playoffs. He wants to win a Super Bowl. All the financial implications, those were the past contracts. Now it's all about winning, and he comes here, another voice in the locker room. It sounds from everything, reading from the Cleveland side of things and now hearing what Jackson is saying himself. This guy's a great leader and is going to fit in this locker room very well.
Well, right after Jackson signed his contract, I caught up with him, and I asked him right out of the gate how excited he is now to be an Indianapolis Colt.
I don't think words can describe how excited I am today, how excited I am to be a part of an organization that wants to win, not alone a conference winning, but a Super Bowl. And not only that, there's great people in the building, and I definitely want to be a part of that.
Earlier this week, you visited with a handful of other teams. What led you to your decision to sign with the Colts?
Well, at first, there's always a plan. The plan was to visit every team that was possibly interested. So as I, the visits piled up, I started to get a clear vision on what I wanted and what I was looking for. And the minute I sat down with Chuck Pagano, I knew right away. Great guy, humble guy. You know, he loves his players, and he was on the right track. And I felt like I belong, and it was a gut feeling. And I feel like I'm in the right place.
You come over from Cleveland. For those that may be unfamiliar to your game, what kind of player are the Colts getting?
Just it's simple. A guy that wants to win, a guy that's passionate about winning, and I do whatever it takes to do it.
You had a great relationship with Rob Chudzinski last year, obviously the head coach for the Browns. Is it nice to be reunited with him of sorts coming over here now with the Colts? He's going to be the special assistant to Coach Pagano.
Absolutely. I thought the world of Chud over in Cleveland. We had a great relationship there. The one thing I got from him was he was trying to change the culture in that building, and I thought he was doing a wonderful job at it. He talked to the players. I mean, he wanted to get it right, and I gained a ton of respect from him in that regard. And coming over here, it's funny how things happen. You know, you're good to people. People are good to you, and you get to work with them and win together. That's always good.
You're a guy that has potential to come in right away and contribute. And with great linebackers already in place like Jarrell Freeman and Robert Mathis, need we say more right there, and Eric Walden, that could be a great linebacking core right now as it stands on paper.
Absolutely, but we definitely got a lot of work to do. I'm the new kid on the block, so I got to iron out what those guys know. They're 2 years ahead of me, so I got a lot of catching up to do. We got a lot of work to do, and we're going to start from there.
Ryan Grigson said that you are a great leader and you bring a wealth of experience to the field. In what ways do you think you're a good leader and you can make a difference for this Colts team next year?
Just being yourself. Being yourself, and guys respect how each other work. And I think I work extremely hard at my craft, and I take full responsibility for it on and off the field. And during there's never an off season. I think what I bring is a way to I've learned, having been with older guys like Willie McGinnis, how to be a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. You know, he was the first guy in the building, last guy to leave, always in the weight room, always watching film. So whatever I can do to contribute, team first is everything. And, you know, I'll be that guy, but I'll also be myself.
Well, again, we're very excited to have you here, and we can't wait to get you on the field.
Yeah, I can't wait.
That is DeQuell Jackson, Colts' newest linebacker. They signed him yesterday to what was reported by the Indianapolis Star, a 4-year deal. So he factors in for the next couple of years to the Colts' success on the defensive side of the football. Kevin, what I was most impressed with, not only in that interview with DeQuell Jackson, but when he was on his conference call with the media, somebody asked him, did you take less money to become an Indianapolis Colt? And he didn't come out and say that he did, but you can infer that that might be the case because he puts a high priority in his ninth year in the league. Right. He puts a lot of emphasis on wanting to go out or at least finish on a winning, contending team.
Yeah, he visited a number of teams, and I think one of the more interesting visits I thought that he made was down to Tennessee with Ray Horton, who's the defensive coordinator down there, who was the defensive coordinator in Cleveland with Jackson. He probably knows him better than anyone right now of any coach around the NFL. He said no to the Titans and coming here, being reunited with Chud, and now he really shores up a linebacker core with Jarrell Freeman, Robert Mathis, Eric Walden. You have some quality depth in Bjorn Werner. We saw Josh McNary make some plays from the inside backer position in 2013 as well. So again, I think Jackson comes in here and there's no adjustment period in terms of getting used to what this locker room is all about. He knows that it's one goal and one goal only, and that's to play in Glendale, Arizona come early February 2015. So I think he is all in. And like you said, Matt, I think he kind of insinuated that he did turn down some bigger offers from some other teams, and there are reports out there that he did that because he has one thing on his mind, one thing only, and that's to hoist that Lombardi Trophy.
All right. Hours after sealing the deal with DeQuell Jackson, KB, the Colts, they weren't done yet. They informed starting center Samson Satelli that he was going to be released, and he was a part of course, he played center, a part of some of the struggles that the interior of the offensive line had last year. And cutting him frees up $4 million in cap space, money that can be used elsewhere for the Colts to use on free agents. This was an interesting move.
Right.
What did you make of this?
Well, like you said, first thing, it does save some money, which I think is nice. At the same time, you're going to have to go out and find another center. And is that Khalid Holmes? I think that's a guy that's on a lot of people's minds this offseason. He was a rookie that you drafted in the fourth round this past season out of USC. Played with a high ankle sprain kind of end of his senior year at USC. I think that kind of hampered him a little bit early on in the offseason during OTAs. Then he suffered another injury early on in training camp that, again, I think held him back a little bit. Would he have fit in necessarily on the offensive line last year? Probably not. But, again, continuity up front I think is the biggest thing moving forward. What do you do up there? Donald Thomas is probably your left guard. Hugh Thornton is probably your right guard. Mike McGlinn, Jeff Linkenbach are both unrestricted free agents. Both of them saw playing time in the middle. Joe Wright is a restricted free agent. Looks like he's going to be back. Where does he kind of fit into the mix? Can he provide some depth as a versatile part of that front? So I think the center position now goes to maybe even your top priority behind Vontae Davis in the sense of you got to go out and find somebody because I think it's vital for Andrew Luck's success in this offense is growth, to find a young center, not even a young center, just finding a center that's a quality part. Because in my opinion, I think the center has really risen to almost the left tackle spot and how important that is on an offensive line, considering you have so many blitzes, so many unique looks from opposing defenses now. So finding a center has got to be a major priority moving forward.
And it took Khalid Holmes, nothing against the young man, but it took a lot for him to get on the field.
Right. I mean,
of the injuries, and he just wasn't ready by all accounts. He's the only center on the roster, right?
Right, exactly.
So what else is out there for us?
See, I think that's the biggest thing is now you got to look at free agency. Alex Mack is, I think, kind of the sexy name that a lot of people have their eyes set on, but it sounds like he's going to warrant some pretty big money, and the Browns have already transition tagged him so they can match anything. So I think that is where now you look at some other guys. Brian De La Puente is a guy that I think people have on their minds. Then maybe do you go in the draft? I know you already drafted Holmes last year, but can you get a guy, Florida State, as a center? Russell Bodine out of North Carolina was a guy I talked to at the Combine. He says he watches tape of Jeff Saturday all the time, a fellow Tar Heel. Is that the route that you take? So, again, I think now you got a way. In my opinion, I think free agency is your more likely route in terms of getting a center. I think it's pretty hard to get a center, especially in the second round, and come in and play at a high level. We saw the Cowboys did it with Travis Frederick, the last pick in the first round in last year's draft. But can the Colts find a guy at 59 that can come in and start from day one? I'm not 100% sold on that. So I think free agency is your next move because I think you do have the guard spots shored up with Thomas and Thornton. Now you need to go out and find a center. And really, once you find a center, in my opinion, almost all the pieces are set on the offensive side of the ball. Maybe go out and get another receiver, maybe a third running back, but for the most part, this offense is set in stone.
We're talking all things Colts right here on The Last Word, FM 107.5 and 1070. The Fan, this segment is called Horseshoe FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions on the Colts, and we're doing that with Kevin Bowen, our resident insider from Colts.com. I'm Matt Taylor inside the Taco Bell studio, and it was reported earlier this week also by our friends at the Indianapolis Star. The Colts are picking up talks with Vontae Davis and Ahmad Bradshaw. Of course, Indianapolis has until Tuesday to lock both of those guys up before they are free to sign with other teams. Now, with Miami's Brent Grimes off the market, Davis kind of moves up a notch, does he not, with his leverage, so to speak, with other teams, because Grimes got good money, and it also appears that Davis is a good cornerback that's on the market. Does he have the upper hand in his corner right now, or is that still too early to say?
I think he does have some of that leverage, considering Grimes did kind of set the market, and you got other guys like Aqib Talib and Werner from the Titans that I think are kind of some of the other guys that are in the same category as Davis, but he still remains priority one in my book, and I think in this organization's book as well. You don't hear too many GMs and coaches say publicly that they definitely want to re-sign certain guys, but Davis, I mean, every time that Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano speak to the public, Davis is the guy that they always mention. So I think he definitely is high atop that list, and he is now, I think, kind of the biggest factor. From a D-line standpoint, you bring back pretty much all your starters. Abreu Franklin is a free agent, so you might need some depth up front. Obviously, your linebacker core is set now that you've signed DeQuell Jackson. Now you go back to the secondary where there are some question marks. Laron Landry and Greg Toler are both under contract, but then what do you do at safety? Is it Antoine Bethea? Does Delano Hall, a young guy that has showed some flashes when he has played, when he filled in for Laron Landry? But again, it is Davis as that lockdown, shutdown corner, as that number one guy. We have said in the past, Matt, I mean, he is thought of very highly around the NFL. Pro Football Focus ranked him as the number third best cornerback in the league next year. I see no reason why you still have plenty of money to go out there and spend, even with this Jackson signing. So I fully expect Davis, again, to be back here. But yes, he certainly does have some leverage now that the cornerback Martin has kind of been set with the Brent Grimes signing.
And the Colts also haven't closed the door, as I said, on Ahmad Bradshaw, even though they went out and signed Trent Richardson as soon as Bradshaw went down in week two with his injury. It's debatable right now if he has anything left because of his age, because of his injuries, or his propensity to get injuries. But Chuck Pagano always talks about how we need to run the football and stop the run, and obviously Bradshaw is exactly the type of physical running back that Coach Pagano likes, and if there was a guy that exudes that personality, it's Ahmad Bradshaw, and we've seen, if he is healthy, he's a very good asset for this team.
You hit the nail on the head. He exudes everything that Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson are looking for in that smash-mouth, angry, downhill running style. And I go back to that 49ers game in the fourth quarter. He had 59 rushing yards, and he just ran like a man possessed. I mean, he wanted the ball. I remember he'd bounce up off that turf, and he would come back to the huddle, and he'd kind of be pointing at himself, like, keep on feeding it to 44. But injuries, unfortunately, have hampered his career, and I think that is a big reason why he didn't have as many suitors last offseason. And unfortunately, we saw the neck injury flare up in that Week 3 victory in San Francisco. For me, the biggest question is, where does he kind of fit into the pecking order? You have Trent Richardson. You have Vic Ballard, both under contract. Let's say Ahmad is your number three back. Most teams, that number three back, play special teams. Does Bradshaw, a guy that's been in the league for 8 years, want to play special teams?
Maybe get like three or four carries a game?
See, exactly. See, I think a guy like Vic Ballard could play some special teams, but at the same time, I think Vic Ballard is a very capable running back that deserves double-digit carries during the game. So a guy that I think people have somewhat forgotten about but played well in flashes was Boom Heron last year. He was a guy that was a great special teams player for this team. He had some mop-up carries and played well. So if you don't go the Bradshaw route, if you don't go the Donald Brown route, you could bring back Heron as that number three back, kind of emergency back role. But man, if Bradshaw was healthy last season, I think this running game would have taken it up a notch. Obviously, you would have had him and Richardson and Donald Brown. I mean, that is a tremendous three-headed monster that you could have had. Unfortunately, injuries ended his season early. But it will be interesting to see. I think Bradshaw has been written off by a lot of people on the outside. But obviously, the reports are out there that, talks are on going with him. That doesn't mean that anything is going to happen, but it is interesting to see, because I think if Bradshaw was back with this team and is healthy, that is the type of back you want for this offense.
Kevin Bowen from Colts.com wrapping things up here. What else is going on Colts.com? What's new on the website this weekend?
We're looking back at last year's free agent class. The Colts are pretty big spenders in the 2013 free agent class on both sides of the football. Some guys definitely have some stuff to prove. Hopefully some injuries won't happen like they hampered, you know, Ricky Jean-Francois, Greg Toler, even Laron Landry a little bit last season. Gosser Sherless, I thought, played very well. Eric Walden had a nice first year in Indianapolis as well. Ryan Grigson has mentioned that he needs to see a jump out of those guys down out there in the second year in the system, second year here in the city of Indianapolis. So I think those are kind of the big things. And then, as we found out yesterday, Matt, you know news is going to break at any minute of the hour. So we got to be on it here. And, basically that is kind of the biggest thing is – come free agency, you never know. I remember last year, Laron Landry was signed close to midnight. I remember on about a Tuesday or Wednesday night. So you never know when things are going to break. It is a fast time. Teams are, you know, going behind other teams' backs, talking to X player and that.
It's like
player.
High school.
So it is like high school all over again. Again, just with a little bit more money involved and a little bit more pizzazz involved. So yeah, that is
a lot more at stake.
Exactly. So that is the biggest thing. I fully expect a few more new names to be joining DeQuell Jackson in this building.
It's going to be fun as free agency starts on Tuesday, and you're exactly right. All reports and all signings and all leads will happen at all hours of the day, so it's going to be fun. The NFL offseason is like its own season.
It is the month of March. Sense. That is free agency. April's OTAs. May's the draft. One thing just leads to another, and before you know it, it'll be opening day.
Indeed. Should be fun. Well, thanks for stopping by. Good insight, as always.
Awesome. Thanks, mate. I appreciate it.
All right. When we come back, we'll clock out. We'll end the show. We'll also end your work week. We'll have some fun, and we'll also make our weekend predictions. Stay with us. This is The Last Word, coming right back on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.